right? And it flows out even in the way you cross your hands. Yes. And so, and here's where you're talking about transformation and renewal. Transformation and renewal. When I was growing up, and as God began to deal with my life, and I began to transform area, I felt that I was more an analytical person. Right? Mathematical, analytical, logical. I love logic. And then I realized, I need to develop the creative part of me. Right? I am too left-brained. And when I was growing up, I always hold my hands with the right thumb over my left thumb. Now, just now, whatever way you held your thumb, right, put your fingers, hands together, and make it the opposite way from what you normally do. Yeah. If your left thumb was over your right, now put your right over your left. Do you feel uncomfortable? Oh, yes. Yes, that was how I felt. What about you, left or right?
I'm left, but
sometimes the other way.
I know because I've had a brain injury. I hit the left side of my brain and paralyzed my
brain. Yeah.
His brain's
on back. Thank you very much. I accept that. Interesting. Now, here's the point. When I was growing up, because I was an analytical person, came through a science stream, and always was in the top science stream all the time, I always hold it right over left. Because my left brain, if you remember, your left side of your brain is an analytical part. The right side of your brain is your creative side and the musical side. Remember, the brain crosses over, so your left is always your right and your right is always your left brain.
Unless
your brain is on backwards, which is special for you. Right, we got one special individual there. And so I always cross my hand this way.
Why is it?
Yeah, the right over left. So during the time when I was in a Baptist seminary, and as I was learning these principles, and I began to realize that God has to transform me, and I need to develop certain things in my life. You know what I did? You know how sometimes you act out in faith? And I purposely always cross my hands the other way around. Left over right. It feels very uncomfortable at first. Plus, I purposely I'm right-handed, I write with my right hand. But I purposely make myself write with the left hand. I train my left hand to write. And if you, some of you who are right-handed, if you try to write with your left hand, it looks like kindergarten writing. You still can write by kindergarten. That tells you that the development of your right brain, as far as bringing it forth, is at the kindergarten level. And of course, if you keep doing that for a couple of years, it will grow into secondary level writing and onwards. And so, I force myself, now without thinking, when people say, put your hands together, this becomes now the comfortable one, which is strange. So, knowing that I'm an analytical person, that my strong point is my left brain, but having forced my comfort level until I'm comfortable with this, and it's now my default mode, in computer language, default mode is the mode that, it's what comes out on the screen without you doing anything. And so that's my default mode. Now, here's my little challenge to you, to test yourself out as you grow. That if you constantly do something long enough, your whole being subconsciously adjusts to it. And so every time I did something, I always forced myself to hold my hands this way. It was very, very uncomfortable the way you all explain discomfort. Now question, logically, physically, biologically, physiologically speaking, there shouldn't be anything to cause you discomfort. A hand is a hand is a hand. This way and this way makes no difference as far as the dynamics of gravity, the laws of physics. Makes no difference. But the discomfort level is within your own soul. The leanings of your left brainness or your right brainness. And so when you begin to act out in faith in certain areas, it does change. It does change, believe me. Things begin to happen. It does change on the inside. But even more in our thinking and in Christ's words in our life. So remember, every circumstances is with a purpose. No matter how horrible or how painful the experience of life is. You know, all life has valleys and mountains, right? Life is that way. And no matter how tough or how difficult the circumstances you face, they're up and down. No matter how difficult it is, remember, every circumstance is with one purpose: to bring forth the Christ in you. When you remember that, hold on to your horses. Hold back all those things that you may want to react. Pray for a moment, be still for a moment, and find the grace of God to bring forth the Christ reaction. And if you keep doing it that way, after some time, you are more transformed in Christ. Point two, every thought is important. Every single thought we think will become a habit of thinking. The habit of thinking will produce an emotional feeling, an inclination. And that emotional thing will one day cause you to take action in a wrong way. If it's the right emotion, then the right thing. And then that action that you take the first time you do it is difficult. But once you do it, you cross the line. It becomes easier to do it again and again. And when the action is repeated, it becomes a characteristic and a deformity in your life, which is not good. Now, the four processes can also be positive, which is why we go to the third point. And that is, every day, every minute or every hour, you can call it, to surround yourself with the right things. And we are told in the Bible, in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, Colossians 3, verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Now, the word richly means abundantly, in abundance. In all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Now, let's say you got each one of us are 24 hours. Each within the 24 hours, we are conscious for maybe 15 hours or so. 15 hours to 17 hours, depending on how much sleep you need. During the time you're conscious of your day, of the day, if you fill the background of your life with words, praise and worship, the word of God, praise and worship, and good things that keep on coming to you all the time, which is why it's good to always leave your cassette or CD or MP3 player on all the time with worship, to leave something on in the background with the word, and you keep surrounding yourself with the word all the time, some parts of it will begin to drop on your inside. That means every day, surround yourself with an abundance of the good things. The good word, good worship, good, and you surround yourself, and slowly, day to day, it will sink into your system. It will definitely sink into your system. God knows about it, and He told the Israelites to do this, much as they may not have realized what He was trying to do in their life. In the book of Deuteronomy chapter 8, Deuteronomy chapter 8. And we are told in Deuteronomy chapter 8 that when they enter into the land that God has for them, that these are the things. Chapter 6, that's it. Chapter 6. These are the things that they must do as far as the word of God is concerned. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 onwards, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. And it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land of which He swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful city, tell them not to forget the Lord, basically. But look at His instruction in verse 6. These words that I command you today shall be in your heart. Verse 7. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in the house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house. Shall write them on the gates of your house. Think about it. You're surrounded by the Word of God. When you lie down, when you wake up, when you walk, to talk to your children, talk by the way, when you're walking along the way, talk about the Word of God. You know, I mean, if they had a cassette player or CD player or MP3 player, it's wonderful. That's on all the time. So we add on top those things, you know, do it all the time. Surround yourself. Let the Word of Christ dwell richly in you. Let it be in abundance in your life. The same way too, the friends we choose. If we choose friends who are constantly negative, if you spend time with people who are constantly negative, believe me, in 1 year, you'll be a negative person. Even though you don't want to be. Because you tend to think that way. Remember what I said? If you give me an opportunity to spend 3 months with you to find faults in your life, I will find it. And so if you're a negative person and you start looking at people that way, you will find fault with everybody. In the end, there's nobody who can live with you. We got to transport you on a spaceship to Mars, leave you there with enough oxygen for the rest of your life. And so we realize that in the end, it's our own attitude that we need to work on. We need to surround ourselves with people who are positive. When you surround yourself with people who are loving, people who are prayerful, people who are worshipful, guess what? Even though you are not prayerful, even though you're not worshipful, even though you're not that positive, guess what? It catches on you. Because some things can be taught, but some things can only be caught. You just got to catch the influence of it. You know, you cannot just get it in a classroom situation. And so the Bible advocates to surround ourselves with an abundance of the Word so that it can start seeping into our lives in a very subconscious way. And almost like indirectly. Now, because you're unique, right? Steve. This is just illustration to us. Are you able to move your ears? You can't move your ears? Can you try moving your ears with the face muscles? Right. Let me expose his ears now. Okay. He's trying very hard to move his ear, but he can't. Now, anybody here can move your ears? Oh, yes, Gwen. Gwen can move her ears. Can you expose the right ear since everybody can look at you on your right? Yeah. I want to see your ear moving. Wow, you could see the strain on the muscles, right? Okay. Anybody else can move your ear? Okay. Yeah. Have you move your ears? Can you move your ears? You can't, yeah? I wonder whether big ears are an advantage. Let me find somebody with big ears. And Glenn, is there an advantage with big ears to move your ear?
Can't do it.
You can't do it. Okay, now tell me. Right, I will go to you afterwards, right? Tell me, are my ears moving? Are my ears moving? Okay, let me go nearer. Okay, now, are my ears moving? Can you see your ears moving? Right, now that doesn't mean I'm Dumbo the elephant, right? But this is part of sermon illustration, right? Now, are my ears moving?
Yes.
Okay? My ears are moving, right? Now, I move my ears without my hands. I've got some of you, they say, oh, move your ears. And you go, right? But move your ears without your hands. And it is a very indirect indirect way. Nobody has ear muscles that can move like the hand. Of course not. Right? Nobody can move develop muscles in their ears where your ears can flap like Dumbo the elephant. Right? No. But because the muscle that holds your ear is attached to the muscle underneath the area of your face, when you stretch and pull the underneath part of your face, your ears move indirectly. In other words, you're pulling the skin. So you activate a part of your muscle that pulls the skin, that pulls the ear. Right? Sound like one of the little Sunday school story, right?